There's always something new happening in the world of internet security, and most of it's bad. So hopefully you've got some great protection for your device, whether it be a laptop or a desktop or a tablet device to keep you safe online. But on the line now, that is the telephone line, to chat about what's been happening recently in the world of internet security is Tim Falinski from Trend Micro Australia. G'day, Tim.
G'day, Andy. Good to talk again.
You too. Now, let's talk about some of the current events, news and trends happening right now. Firstly, Windows 10. They're getting hundreds of millions of people on board now. And I've noticed that Microsoft seem to be pushing their own, I guess, brand of internet protection that's built into the operating system. What can you tell us about that? What do we need to know? And is it enough?
Look, the Microsoft internet security that they put on there is good, don't get me wrong behind that. Mm-hmm. And really what we see behind the message is that by them pushing their own brand is they're trying to educate people that not having any protection at all is not a good thing. And a lot of people think that they know what they can do and all the rest of it. So they definitely have their security essentials package that will turn on if you don't have any other version of internet security on there. But I think what people need to understand, it's also quite a basic or an entry-level form of protection. It hasn't got the multifaceted enhanced features that most of the true internet security has out there. So whilst it's good and it's better than having nothing, if you want true security and true protection, what a lot of tests show is that you need one of the fully branded versions running on your computer.
So they have nothing like the real-time link scanning and that sort of thing. So when you're, say, you know, browsing for something or searching Google, you can't immediately see which links are safe and which are not.
Correct. So what the software mainly is targeted at is more about virus control and antivirus, which is one in the plank of many, many things that people get attacked with these days. So whilst virus control is the central of everyone's bit of software, you also need to know about internet security, password management, ransomware, malware, mobile security, banking protection, and these are and social media as well. These are all the other different ways that we're getting attacked these days and that the cyber criminals are moving to. And Microsoft Security Essentials don't protect against that vast variety and the multifaceted attacks that happen to us these days. So it is better to have nothing. And I think Microsoft's message to us all is you need some level of protection. You must have protection these days. But at the end of the day, theirs is just a basic level, and we really do recommend that people consider the multi ways that we are attacked by the cyber criminals.
Absolutely. And speaking of cyber criminals, we know that they love a good global event or breaking news. Of course, we've just had Valentine's Day, and coming up on the calendar, we've got Easter. What should users be wary of around these types of events when they're online?
Well, they use these events to as peak periods. So we had Christmas recently, as you mentioned, Valentine's Day, now we're coming up with Easter, and they use other events such as like Wills and Kate had a new baby last year. Unfortunately, they also use disasters like Malaysian Airlines, and what they try and do is sort of see what happens around that time. So Valentine's Day, Easter, you might get deliveries. So you might get a spam email, which purports to be from Australia Post but isn't, about a parcel waiting for collection or that got tried to be dropped off but you weren't home, and hey, click here for the details of the parcel. And as soon as you click, the malware gets downloaded onto your computer, or they'll have a link for you to click on, etc. So they use these events and see what happens. Another big one about to come up will be the end of June, which is the end of financial year, and you'll see spam emails come out from the Australian Tax Office, which isn't from them. And the whole thing that they're trying to do with regards to this is to get you to open the email. You're still okay at this stage, but to click on the link that's in the email. And what you've got to do is make sure that the one thing you never, ever want to do is click on that link, because when you click on that link, it allows the cyber criminal to download the software into your computer, and at that stage you've got access to your information, your data, and anything else that they want to do.
So you really do need to be vigilant looking at your emails. Hopefully, obviously, you've got some protection around that already installed on your machine, but you really need to be vigilant. Check the origin of the email, and just normally you can hover over a link and see where it's going to go before you click on it, right?
Correct. You know, like I think these days we're all inundated with so many different emails, like it doesn't matter where you go to these days, you get signed up to some sort of email list and you get emails from a whole lot of different people, and most of them are legitimate. But you know, just sort of really be careful about, you know, hang on, I didn't order anything on the internet. Why would I be getting something for Australia Post? Australia Post, if they go to your house and you're not there, they don't send you an email. They put a card under the door. We all know that, but sometimes in our haste of life, we click on it. So this is where a good bit of internet security software will actually help you say that, hang on, that link in that email is malicious, don't go there. Be careful of what you're doing. This is leading you down a rabbit hole. So, you know, we found last year that there's some 500,000 new threat variants per day that are coming out online and, you know, just slight changes that try and get through our internet filters. So that's where it's good to have a good level of protection to help back you up when you make mistakes and accidentally click on things.
Now, Tim, we're always talking about sort of new connected devices, you know, whether it be TVs or refrigerators, but something else that's really coming in now in quite great numbers is smartwatches. There are so many on the market, plus fitness devices that also connect to our smartphones. Are we seeing any areas of concern with these devices when it comes to online security or privacy? I've just recently in the last week picked up a Microsoft band, for example. It talks to my smartphone. What should users be aware of around these devices?
So, you know, when we see these new devices come out, Andy, we sort of first examine what's on the device, what's on the information. Like people ask me things like this and about the internet of things at home, and like at the end of the day, if you're going to have a connected coffee machine or a connected washing machine, is that really going to be a security hole? And potentially it is and potentially it isn't. But when I look at smartwatches and smart bands, the problem is the kind of information that's stored on them. You know, there's going to be information on your Microsoft band that's going to tell you how good your golf swing is and how many steps you've taken for the day. That kind of information probably isn't an issue. Mm-hmm. But it's the connectivity back to your smart device that raises two concerns. One, you're going to start receiving some information such as emails. I know with the Apple Watch, what they've got going in the US now is Apple Pay, so you can actually make payments for goods using your credit card with your watch. So how is that information being stored and how it's being protected? But more importantly as well, is that device being connected to your smartphone and being connected to other devices now becomes a doorway for an attack. So if they can actually get access through that band and you've got it synced into your phone, does that now give them through that paired connection access into your smartphone and all the information that you have on there? So it's early days with these devices. We haven't seen any widespread attacks, but as they become more popular and as things continue to move along, we're going to see more and more things happen as we get into that connected life area.
It just makes me think of initially when we had iPads come out and the cyber criminals had trouble attacking iPads directly, but they worked out that they could actually, if they could get a piece of software onto your the desktop or notebook computer that you use to connect your iPad to, then they could reach out to the iPad that way. So I wonder whether that's maybe a direction they could take with these connected bands or watches.
Oh, look, it's the way it goes. Like, if we go back in years as well, you know, people used to say that, oh, Macs don't get viruses. Now, in 2015, the Mac OS was, we found the most number of threats in Mac OS compared to anything else. People think Windows is the most open and threat-riddled operating system. It was ranked number 4 last year.
Right.
So, you know, it is changing. The world's changing. So, but what's driven that and why that's happened is that a lot of Mac users don't actually protect their machines because they don't think they need to. But with the increase of their market share, all of a sudden they've built themselves into a big enough pool for the cyber criminals to worry about it. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with smartwatches and everything else. And once it gets to this mass where it's worthwhile and these guys figure out how to get around it, you're going to see them starting to exploit it because people don't have it protected and don't have it locked down.
Yeah. Moving on, Tim, let's talk about back to school, of course. Well, that's what's pretty much just happened. Everyone's back to school for the year. Something interesting I found when dealing with a lot of parents around this time as they were out buying new devices for their kids this year is I'd say to them, oh, how are you going with your internet security? Have you got something installed? And some of them weren't sure if that was something that was going to be on the computer. Or a lot of them said, oh, I think I already have a subscription, but I'm not sure. What is the best way for parents to kind of approach this? Because, of course, as we know, when you go out and get something like Trend Micro or some of the other brands, you've got potentially a subscription to multiple devices, and you may have some unused, the ability to download without having to buy a whole new subscription. How do users go about checking this?
Well, definitely. So, in regards to our product, we have now anywhere up to 10 devices that you can protect from our software depending on the level of subscription that you purchase. So if you just go online to my account or trendmicro.com, you'll actually see how many of those devices you've already used and how many are available, and therefore be able to use the same key to actually install that software onto an additional device. So it's actually very quick and easy to do, and if people aren't sure, they'll be able to call our support lines, and we can definitely talk people through that, because we firmly believe in people actually installing the software on as many devices as possible. Likewise, if they want to check whether they've got the software, I think one of the things that catches parents out a lot is they get home and they open up their computer and they've just got the kid and they see that there's a bit of software installed on there. What they don't realise in a lot of cases is that's just a trial version, and after 60 days, it won't be protecting their kid anymore. And generally also, the software that's given away as a trial is the most basic level, which won't actually do all the enhanced features. And if we're worried about what we do online from a social media point of view and how we're surfing the internet, we've got to be doubly worried about our kids. And definitely getting a proper package that actually fully protects a kid is incredibly important, I think, in this day and age where I've done lots of talks at schools, and I think the thing that scares me the most is to actually talk to kids even as young in, being in year three, year four, and they tell me about how people try and talk to them online and all the other kind of bits and pieces. And I think the kids are very, very cluey, but, I do definitely recommend parents having a good chat to their kids about talking to their kids often about what's going on in your online life. But, we can't be with the kids 24/7, and having a bit of software there to help us out when they're not around, I would have to rank as one of the most important things to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, finally, Tim, late last year we talked about some security, online security predictions for 2016. How are those predictions playing out so far? What are some of the tricks that are still catching people out?
Well, some of the tricks that we've seen that in some ways are actually accelerating, which is a bit worrying, is I think the first one is ransomware.
Right.
Ransomware to me will be one of the biggest things this year. It's where you accidentally click on a wrong link inside of an email, and what it does is it uses encryption to encrypt your files. And over 50% of all attacks are now for home users. So we really do warn people about that. Our software has some built-in protection for ransomware, where first of all, we warn you about the wrong links to go to. And secondly, if ransomware starts affecting your computer, we give you a very early warning so you can try and lock it down and stop the process prior to infecting your whole computer. Because once it takes effect, it's only in about 5% of cases that the files can be recovered. Mm. The other big one, which we talked about just a little bit earlier, would be to me about Macs and iOS. Like, people really do believe that they're protected there. And I don't know how many times people ask me, oh, yeah. And it's usually too late. Usually, they buy a Mac, they go home, they do something, go, I didn't think Macs got viruses. But it's not about the Macintosh. The thing that, we continue to warn people, it's about internet security. It's about your journey out there in the internet. And it doesn't matter whether you come from Mac, from Windows, from iOS, or from Android. You need protection, and that's definitely there. And then the final one will be passwords. Like, we predicted last year that there'll be some 14 major hacks of passwords, and unfortunately I think there was over 20 at the end of the year when we did the final tally up. And people use the same password and email combination on virtually every different account that they open up, and we really do recommend that you change it up. You don't need to have a different email, but as long as you change your password on each account, then you're just putting that level of complexity in there that the cyber criminals, if they do hack and get access to one service, they can't then go and get access to all your other services because you use the same combination of email address and password on everything. So to me, that's the three big things really at the moment that we're seeing play out and that we continue to warn people about in 2016.
Great. Some really good info and tips there, Tim. Tim Falinski from Trend Micro Australia. Thanks again for joining me on Tech Daily.
Great talking to you again, Andy.